Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to the Drunk Time AFL Podcast. For end of round 15, start of round 16, 2020, we come to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who has been fired as Richmond's COVID officer. It is Adam Rosenbarks.
Oh, God. G'day, Michael. Tough week I've had. Very tough week. It's all... God, it falls apart so quickly in this day and age. You just don't know what's right. You don't know what's wrong. So... Let me talk you through the story. So,
I mean, should we make it clear what we're actually talking about? People may not have heard the story.
So I was obviously hired as Richmond's COVID officer. I was up to date. I knew everything that needed to be known. I knew how to look after the players. I was the one that ticked off Brooke Cochin. Yes, you can go to a day spa. Of course you can. Turns out was a little bit wrong on that, but that's fine. Didn't hurt anyone. You know,
and you also said to her, you know, make sure you post it on social so you get a freebie.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you want to pump them up.
Mate, that's how confident I was. I said, Brooke, go for your life. You won't have to defend yourself and you and your husband won't have to pay the fine. That is ridiculous.
Yeah, and then so, weird things like your dad might go to the media and then the wife of the CEO might go to the media as well. Like, that won't happen. Nah, in what world?
That's a crazy fallout. So we're up there. It's a couple of players' birthdays, so we're having a few froths in the hotel that we're allowed to stay in. So you're allowed to do that. And so the one thing that they didn't do was there was no finger food, right? So you are with well-oiled machines. Mm-hmm. These footballers need protein. They need to fuel the machines, right? So we'd had a couple of froths. We'd sung happy birthday. There was a bit of cake, but someone blew on the cake, so therefore...
Can't eat it.
Could it have COVID? You've got to be careful. I said, no. No one touch a fucking cake.
Yeah, yeah.
That shit could have COVID, right? So myself and Stacky and Jonesy, we went back to their room and they were like, fuck, we're hungry, Rosie. I said, you know what? I know a great restaurant on the strip in Gold Coast, right? And so I said, let's go to a beautiful restaurant I've heard of called Hollywood Showgirls. Now, I thought, like Planet Hollywood, that it was going to be just, you know, famous people have put together a great restaurant, right?
Yep.
So we go there, 20-minute Uber ride. I said, don't worry about that. We're sitting in the back. COVID safe, fellas. Mm-hmm. Don't stress. You know, I said, don't have a mint. Whatever you do, don't have a mint. So we go into this Hollywood Showgirls. It's underground. I thought, that's weird for a restaurant.
Mm.
And we go in there. And I tell you what, Michael, can I just say, the food service there was, it was fucking appalling. Like I was looking to complain to someone, but, you know, these girls, they came over and I thought they were coming over to take my order.
Mm-hmm.
And then she sits in my lap. I'm like... You haven't even got a notebook on you. Where are you writing this down? Because I don't trust waitresses or waiters.
Yeah.
When you say stuff to them,
not even wearing a name tag.
Yeah, exactly. How do I know who served me? You're not bringing a buzzer out to me. I saw you up there touching that pole that you've been dancing around. You haven't even sanitized after that.
That's the thing.
I said to the fellas
during the you know 8-hour working day, they're taking like a dance break every 10 minutes.
Yeah. A lot of the money that was being tucked into the tips they were getting and for food that hadn't even been delivered. Why are you fucking paying these people? They haven't even given the service that they were supposed to give. Where is the fucking food? Anyway, that money hadn't been sanitized. And I'm like, well, I hope they put gloves on before they take it out and it's sanitized before, you know, it goes back into circulation.
Mm.
So we were even hungrier than we started.
Yep.
And so we walked out and I said, well, there can only be if you... You know, there's only a few late night options for meals. And it all comes down to the name of a store. And when you see a place called the Kebab Zone, then you know that place has nailed kebabs. Like, it's like being stuck in their orbit. You know, like when you're walking past and then you just feel yourself being tugged in.
Mm-hmm.
That means, my friend, you're in the Kebab Zone. And so we went in and we got a few kebabs. And then this other fuckwit on the street, he came too close and I said, mate, you got to stay 1.5 metres away. And he's fucking kicked off. And so, you know, Stacky and Jonesy fucking punched the shit out of him. They may, and this is a rookie mistake from kids. You never throw a punch with your kebab hand. You always got kebab in the left, free right hand, bang, down he goes, eat your hero punch, eat your kebab. Everyone knows that. Rookie mistakes. They threw with a kebab hand, garlic sauce to the jaw, down go the kebabs, down goes the guys. We have to go in and get a couple more kebabs. And then we fucking, the cops rock up and we're in trouble.
I know, and there's a lot to unpack right here. Okay, so I feel bad for the dudes, first off. I do feel bad for them just by the fact the absolute bollocking they would have got from so many people that night or that morning. Like,
But the amount of things that they did earn that rebuke would have been, like, incredibly justified. Of course, they'd be feeling terrible. $75,000 fine?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you imagine that dawning on you? 75 grand. Just going, fucking hell, that is like, that's 3/4 of his wage in a year.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. I believe, though, that they don't actually have to pay it. I think.
Well, that's the thing. The club came out hard, didn't they? They're like, they're going to have to pay it. They're paying it. And then the AFLPA came out and went, that's not in our code. You can't do that.
Yes, I'm trying to work out. So for all these COVID breaches, so they go straight to the club. They don't go to the individual. Because, I mean, imagine if they punched on just on a regular Saturday night and got fined by the AFL, you know, 50 grand, they would have to pay it personally. So it must be all COVID breaches go through the club.
Well, I think it's anything outside the club. I think I don't think you can be fined over a certain amount by the club. That's in their contract with the players.
And 10 weeks is the most time you can get as well.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Unless it's like a WADA or a SADA.
Well, yeah. I think an AFL sanction, yeah. But I suppose an AFL sanction as well. Like if you go and, you know, headbutt 15 people in a game, you can get a year and a half. But for these kind of, I suppose, off-the-field sanctions, it's only 10 weeks. Yeah. So kebab zone, mate. Kebab zone. It's over the road from right next to...
Hang on. First, let's talk about they got the Uber. Big no-no. So they had 20 minutes from where their hub is to go down to the Goldie. So they would have been sitting there going, this is cool, yeah? And they're like, mate, it's totally fine.
And then they would have had to... Are you kind of sneaking out of the hub? Like, is it the kind of thing where you kind of have to put on your tippy toes and kind of go... Or is there a security guard at the gate, like, kind of make sure people stay in?
Well, clearly not. But because the players are allowed to go to a cafe for takeaway, but they're not allowed in the cafe. So I suppose during the day, they're probably allowed in and out. And I guess at night, you're probably allowed in and out at night, but you've got nowhere to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless, of course, you're going to support the local showgirl industry.
Of course, the local women putting themselves through university.
That's right.
Okay, so they get in the Uber. And I suppose the guy probably doesn't recognise them. Fair enough. You know, if Callum Coleman-Jones comes up on you as you are, you know, he's leaning out the window going, Callum Coleman-Jones, wait a second.
Amazingly, in our footballers in real life that we've been doing for 6 years, we've never had Callum Coleman-Jones come up on a regular basis.
So they head to Hollywood Showgirls. Now, the guy who owns Hollywood Showgirls, Gold Coast entrepreneur.
Oh, absolutely.
He rather cheekily put up on Instagram something along the lines of, you know, refused to confirm or deny whether there was a fight or that there was an eviction, which presumably means that there was a fight and there was an eviction. but also kind of what happens in Hollywood stays in Hollywood. It's kind of cheeky.
I love that. And, you know, he needs to do that to keep... certain people that, you know, he'd be paying off in the local area, happy with him.
I mean, I find with the multitude of strip clubs that I own around the country, you know, this kind of PR is terrible for business.
Oh, you don't want people knowing where you are or that you keep things on the down low for them. You don't want that.
So they popped into Kebab Zone. Okay, so they bought a special kebab that's not on the menu.
Not even on the menu. So they'd done research. They must have been on like TripAdvisor or would you go on your local, Zomato? Is that other one that tells you all the dining in the area?
Well, I feel like that they might know Kebab Zone by the fact that this year it was awarded 3 stars in the Michelin Guide. So it get a lot of publicity for that.
Yeah, right. It got three old dim sims in a Bay Marie.
They ordered two and then they went out. And I think the guy who kind of confronted them, I think he's like regarded as like the local... the local wino.
Fuckwit.
I suppose you can imagine. Yeah, he seems to be known to people. And he, I don't know why he kicked off at them. I don't know what his point was, like why he was
getting
angry.
But also, like, local winos, they're around. You see them when you're out drinking and stuff. They're usually, you're not getting into punch-ons with them very often.
No, no. And then, unfortunately as well, it seems to be the cop station was about 20 metres down the road. So they got unlucky in that regard as well.
Have you? Okay, so I've been out at in that strip because I also have been near the kebab zone. And they come down and everything's kind of like these steel tables. And about 2:30 in the morning, there's just a truck that comes down there and hoses everything down. Yeah, yeah. It's a really classy area. So if you're sitting there, you've got to get the fuck out of the way because everyone kind of gravitates to it with their different takeaway that they're heading home with. Because if you haven't picked up, you go to the kebab zone.
So let me think, when did it happen? Was it Thursday night?
Yeah, it's right? Thursday night, Friday morning. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, gotcha. So that would have been, you know, people would have been out on the town. Like, it wouldn't have been empty.
Yes, totally. Totally. And the other thing that happened that I read about was that Sydney Stack apparently didn't have his card with him. Maybe it was still behind the bar at Hollywood Chuggers. I don't want to cast aspersions on anyone. So he had to transfer money into the kebab zone owner's account. So that's an honourable man there. He said, "Oh, mate, I don't have a card." And the guy's going, "Oh, what the fuck? I'm going to call the cops." He goes, "No, Mr. Zone, because it's named after himself." He said, "I will transfer it to you." And that's what he did. He transferred the money. And I think he did it twice because they got the second round of kebab. So they get into a fight.
To go back.
Coleman Jones ended up in hospital and Stack got arrested, I believe. So they've, in that time, Coleman Jones is sitting out the front with hospital injuries and he's going, "Mate, just let me get you a second kebab." And Tom Brown said he spoke. So Tom Brown's been all over this. He said that he spoke to the owner of Kebab Zone and he said that they weren't drunk. And I'd just like to say that a sober person does not get a backup kebab.
Yeah, sure. I think he said that they were a bit tipsy and I think he said Sydney Stack looked a bit tired.
Oh, that's bad.
Tom Brown on the case, eh? Imagine that in your football portfolio that you go, "Yeah, I'm going to break the big stories about the AFL." And then you find yourself on the Goldie interviewing the owner of a kebab shop.
So I'm imagining then that one of them gets, well, you've gone to the cop shop, Stack? Or will they just sort of be, you know, arrested there and then kind of let go? Like, where is the call being placed to Brendan Gale?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I imagine you'd have to go in with him. You couldn't leave him high and dry.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, yeah, it's another Uber trip and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, if you could Uber pool it, you can share the money.
Well, they need to save money now, Richmond.
Well, it seems to be the call was made on the Friday morning, early Friday morning.
Right.
Because it seemed to me the AFL kind of kicked into gear like a few hours afterwards. So I'm going to go with maybe called from the cop shop. Or did the cops give him a ride home?
I haven't read that anywhere. And would they have given Stack, like if he's got that one call, do they let him? I imagine he's called Brendan Gale. I say, "Hey, Benny. Sydney, where are you? I'm in the Goldie." "Yeah, mate, we're all in the Goldie." Well, funny story.
Got a kebab shop recommendation for you.
I'll tell you what, the special, not on the menu, Benny.
And I tell you what, we went to the place next door, the waitresses there, really attentive. Really, but they're close talkers. They're close talkers.
Yeah. Get right in your face. 75 grand. So they're saying that potentially now it's going to come out of the soft cap of Richmond next year. So it won't hurt the players as such, but it's going to hurt the team. And it said, Tom Brown again reporting, could potentially be the boot stutter.
I know, the boot stutter. Now, it's a 70...
You can't get rid of the boot stutter. One, you need him there for boot studding. And two, he needs to be there as to let you know you've got rock bottom of a review.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
How do you know when you've reached the end of a review if you haven't got to the boot stutter? You just fucking keep going. You're hitting up the secretary, you're fucking, you know, in admin, you're fucking hitting up everyone. And they go, how do I know when to stop? There's no boot study.
Absolutely. You need the boot starter, particularly in Richmond, because who is going to regale the young players with all of the stories of the triumphs from 1982 to 2016? That's the kind of stuff you get from the boot starter. Hey, guys, remember when we finished ninth? Hey, I remember that year.
So what happens if there is a new boot starter hired at a club? He'd have like he'd probably come in and he'd go to HR and HR would give him protection, the protection that has never been afforded a boot studder previously. Like, you've got these guys, right? So they're pretty, they're usually, like you say, they're the old guys that hang around the club.
Yeah, I think median age is probably about, you know,
200?
COVID-19 age, I reckon.
Yeah, they've seen many a pandemic. They can talk to you. Oh, the Spanish flu in 1920, my friend.
Bloody hell, you call that a plague? I think you remember the Black Plague. I don't know why he sounds like JB, but you know, that's okay.
That's the way they spoke back then. But also, like, if you were a boot starter back in the day, mm-hmm. every day, like, your team's playing shit, you're trying to get morale up. The weight on his shoulders when he goes home to his wife.
Yep.
She's like, oh, you look down again. He's like, another fucking review. I don't know what I've done. I mean, fuck. They go out there, two blokes slip over, and fucking the coach is gone, and now I'm fucking.
I'm under
every
the pump.
Day he's like, are you still there, Pop? He's like, well, I think so. But another fucking review, kids.
Why do they need to mention me by name every single time? Like, it's never like, you know, review from the president all the way down to the strength and development coach. Like, it's never that.
Yeah, exactly. Ah, he's never copped anything. If anything, the strength and conditioning coach is fucking lauded when things go well. But I tell you what, but that would be, oh, fuck, every day. He's like, I don't know if I got a job next year. The review, and when, you know what, I don't reckon any review has been done properly all the way to the bottom. Because never has one come back and gone, I'll tell you what, I'd hang on to Nathan Buckley, but I tell you who can go.
But also, on the flip side to that, like, you've never seen a review where they've gone, we can fucking get rid of the coach, because I heard some pretty decent decent evidence from the boot starter. Yeah. And he had some things to say, and therefore he should stay, but the coach should go.
Also, maybe, they call him into the room. They're like, Clary, can you come in? He's like, oh, what do you need? And he goes, what have you seen? He goes, oh, mate, I'll tell you what. When we played against Essendon and he didn't put a spare man behind the ball, they go, that's all we needed to hear, mate. We had our suspicions, but you, my friend, have confirmed what we needed to hear.
We've almost heard too much. Okay, mate, massive news during the week. We're going to have a grand final in Queensland. That is amazing. That is amazing.
I'm sorry. I'm deeply sorry that your streak is over.
I know.
How many years in a row have you been to the... Have you lauded us over us peasants that you've been in the grand final?
1983. And by the way, it's not Chamber, it's Malige. So 1983, including the draw. So let me say off the top of my head, I can't really do the figures right now. Well, 38. 39?
That's 30, incredible.
38 maybe. Yeah. Yeah. And my team, can you tell me to tell how many my team won?
Fucking
don't do this. Heard that 9 times. 9 times. Gee, I wonder who the unlikable person on this podcast is.
So it's gone to Queensland. They put in a huge bid. Basically, it was kind of came down to Adelaide Oval was never really in the mix, was it? There was kind of maybe some talk about it, but I think the strict quarantine and just getting teams in and out wasn't looking so good. And WA, which has the second best stadium in the country at the moment, you know, modern, new, looking good. It's got a footbridge, you know, which is what it needed. But their premier, WA's, the San Molesterers premier, has just gone so hard with the, I didn't fucking beg for it, we don't fucking need it, you can fuck off AFL. And then they've gone, oh, okay, we'll go to Queensland. He's like, we didn't fucking want it. It's like, mate, you fucking cost your state, what, 50 mil? How much would a grand final bring to their economy, Mike?
Well, they did talk about that, and that's actually a question without notice. I want to put you on point. But did talk about how he kind of wanted to be wooed a little bit. He kind of wanted to be wooed a bit, like, you know, but maybe he was negging the AFL. You know about negging, right?
Yeah, fucking oath.
Well, yeah, sorry, who am I talking to right now?
I swear on the game. That's when I go into court.
I mean, often. Adam, I mean, you'd look really, really pretty if you wore glasses.
Thank you.
Oh, you let your hair out more. They do the second best. I mean, obviously you say that after Monica, obviously. But I think the border thing was the main problem, really. And also getting people back and forth and the tally of having quarantining by the fact that they go, say, Eagles finish, you know, second, get a prelim, whatever. They just can't do a quarantine before a fucking grand final, can they?
It didn't seem like they could. And they were kind of going to, I think they were going to have to factor in, would they have to put a break after the prelim in case a team played there? And then it was like, and then also, they weren't going to have a bar of the 400 people who flew up to be in the hubs in Queensland. Whereas Queensland were like, I fucking bring it on.
For sure. And as we know from the events during the week, nothing went wrong and everything's fine.
It's totally fine. So we've got a grand final in Queensland and everything pointed to Powderfinger, I think, have reunited and I think might be bringing out either a new song or a new album. And so everyone went, it's got to be Powderfinger.
Yeah,
no other team. They're in the state. It's their home state. Yeah. They've got a fucking album called Vulture Street. And everyone who's watched cricket knows that you open the bowling from the Vulture Street end.
Yep.
It's fucking perfect. But no Powderfinger. So therefore, do we cancel the grand final in Queensland if we can't have Powderfinger? Michael Chamberlain.
I feel like we call it off. Another question with that note. It's like I'm picking you up on them. To their credit, Powderfinger said not this year. So it seems they've been asked by Michael Gudinski, who seems to be running kind of the pre-game entertainment or halftime entertainment.
And don't drop in a not this year. Mate, you're fucking blown it. You're not getting asked again, Powderfinger, okay? This is the only time the grand final is going to be in Queensland, unless, of course, Bill Gates releases another pandemic.
Very good.
You've had your chance. You fucking said no. You're Gonski.
And so they, to their credit, they recommended other Queensland artists, being a man who listens purely to podcasts and Guns N' Roses and the Hamilton soundtrack. I don't know any of them, so therefore I can't give an informed opinion.
Were Regurgitator thrown into that mix? Are they not a Queensland band?
Sheesh, they might be, man. But fuck, man, the Gurge, I don't know. You haven't heard around them for a while. Like, are they okay? Like, are they actually? That's actually a question for them. Are they okay? Are they okay?
I think they'll be all right.
One man has thrown his hat in the ring.
I mean, not for the grand final, he couldn't.
You'll never guess. I mean,
He's too busy, Michael. He's too busy to say yes. But tell the listeners, who put their fucking hand up?
Mike Brady has put his hand up to say
Mike Brady
that he's willing to perform at the grand final. Even going so far as saying he's willing to drive his Vespa to Queensland.
Did he say that?
All the way from Melbourne to Queensland, drive his Vespa. Now, I would actually probably pay money to watch Mike. You know, remember that show, The Gann?
Oh.
Remember the show The Gann? Oh, I think it was on SBS. And it was like, I think they called it Slow Moving TV.
Oh, Slow TV? Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Cameras out the front of The Gann and out the back and kind of, you know, on the side, kind of showing the journey from South Australia to Northern Territory.
Yeah.
If we can get Mike Brady to play at the grand final, we can market this, right? Okay. On Junk Time TV. We can market this.
What a channel.
Slow TV. I saw your eyes light up. You're excited. Slow TV following Mike Brady's journey from Melbourne to Queensland for the grand final.
And as he he can bring up the Premiership Cup and the Brownlow.
For sure. Well, we'll get to that as well. But also, I like the idea that like Mike Brady's like riding up on the Vespa and then like there are little interludes where he gets off the Vespa and kind of pulls into like a pie shop and he's like, hey, Mike Brady, on the house? And they're like, sorry, mate. And he's like, SBC, baked beans and spaghetti? Hungry little human beings. Okay, mate.
Mate, it's $4.50. You pay it or fuck off.
Mike Brady, mate. Okay. Well, you got it.
You can't beat a sayo for a snack. Yeah, and you can't beat fucking paying for this pasty, mate. Now fuck off.
It must be really hard working in the pie shop because it must be like hard yakka, hard yakka.
You know what would be great is if you are going to do that, so you have a little bit of a travelogue and you go through country Victoria, New South Wales, is you know whenever you perform a gig in the outback, they always claim to be the meth capital of that particular state. Have you ever done gigs like that? They're like, oh, mate, we've got a fucking meth problem here. What about if Mike Brady, as he's going through... So he goes up through Shepparton, Wangaratta, all that. He samples the meth. So as Mike gets closer to Queensland, he's getting thinner. He's getting angrier. So when he sings One Day in October, he's had to change it. That's made him really angry. But by the time he gets to Brisbane. There's like a couple of teeth missing. It's not on a Vespa. He's fucking... he's on the back of a truck now with cattle.
Well, so, yeah. So, okay. So, it's an October grand final. So, Mike Brady doing the drive up on his Vespa. So, he'd just be like, one sleep in October.
They go, Mike, what happened to the Premiership Cup? He goes, he's just like, oh, fucking, I'll lend it to a friend in fucking Dubbo, mate. I'll get it back.
No. Bang Bang's good for it, mate. Bang Bang's good for it.
I'll get it back for you, mate.
Or do you think about this for grand final entertainment, my friend? If Mike can't make it. and
how was he not a part of the 400 people that flew up? But that's playing ahead AFL.
But that's the thing. Like, it actually is also an awesome moment when he does do the song. Like, I mean, we jest, but it is actually awesome when he does the song. But
up there, Kazali, I've told this. I must have told this on the podcast. That was the first ever vinyl I ever owned.
Yeah, and didn't you have a fight with your brother and he threw it across the room or something?
Yeah, he threw it and I lost my shit. I've never forgiven. We haven't spoken since 1979.
Yeah, that's the hill to die on, mate. but hear me out. Okay, halftime, Gabba,
yep.
The lights dim. Eerie, like, you know, an eerie silence falls over the ground. And then hologram Mike Brady comes up.
Like Tupac.
Hologram Mike Brady. If you can't make it. Like, we got to get a hologram Mike Brady at halftime of the MCG, the Gabba, during the grand final.
So like a 200-foot high Mike Brady.
Oh, yeah. I mean, bigger. I mean, I'm more than happy to go bigger than that. Yeah, if I need to. Okay. If I need to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's fucking great.
Hologram Mike Brady. And that way, no matter, I mean, I'm sure he's in great health. I'm sure he's completely fine. Yeah. But if the day comes where Mike, you know, may, you know, head the way of, you know, that we can have a hologram Mike Brady until the rest of time.
That is fantastic.
Okay, AFL, we have given you another great idea. When are you going to come to the fucking party?
I tell you what, once, and you know, if you give him notice now, if you say, hey, Mike, you're on it. So he's got, about 7 weeks now until the grand final. He can find a rhyme for Wool and Gabba. Give the man a little bit of time, bit of a heads up. He's a rhyming genius.
Yeah, sure. Unfortunately, I think the only thing that rhymes is Yo Gabba Gabba. So it might be a bit of a different thing for a footy crowd.
Or Jack Stephen, he got a stabber. You know, he'll work it out. It's okay.
That's very funny. I want to applaud you for that joke, and I want junk timers all around the world to applaud Adam for that joke right now. That's very good.
Thank you.
And can I just think to myself right now, does that feel like 10 years ago?
The Jack Stephen stabbing.
Yeah, it's like that's like 100 million stories ago.
Yeah, maybe that's what Mike Brady should do as his song is a recap of the year.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So he talks about, you know, Jack Stephen getting stabbed, Steel side bottom going for a wander.
Nathan Buckley playing tennis.
Hollywood showgirls.
Yeah, sure. Getting a kebab at Kebab Zone.
Yeah, exactly. The party at Peter Laddam's place, which the Adelaide Crows player stayed in his room and didn't come out for, therefore not breaking any rules.
Oh, dude.
That'd be a fucking great one. But Queensland hosting it, I think we should Queensland the grand final up. Like, it should be, like, how proud would you be if you win the Norm Smith and it's presented by the Bundy Bear? How nice would that be? Or, like, the halftime sprint in thongs. Or, like, okay, so, you know, everyone loves a goal-kicking competition, right? But if you get... the cream of Queensland. So you have a lead up competition. So it's a knockout comp, but they get to hit cane toads through the goals with a golf club. Very Queensland sport.
I was about to say, yeah, with a golf club. You got to do it with a golf club, yeah.
Yeah. What about Pauline Hanson singing the anthem wearing a burqa? It's multicultural.
But will it get too political if she has like the team colours on the burqa?
Yeah, like, fair point.
You can't mix politics and sport, mate.
No, that's. I was going to say Peter Dutton to bring the Premiership Cup in a refugee hovercraft. Have I gone too far?
No, you
what
haven't.
What about if instead of if
no,
you
yeah,
win,
because you haven't named a good person in that list at all. So
that's true. Okay, instead of baseball caps, the winning team gets a Premiership Bob Catter hat. How good would that be?
Oh, fuck, man. Imagine, like, actually picture that, though, the grand final. Like, picture, like, cutting to the crowd and, like, the who's who.
Absolutely.
Of Queensland, who will be there. Fuck.
And this is a state that, you know, hosted Expo 88. Like, this place knows how to hold an event.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's one name you haven't mentioned.
One Chappelle?
Name. Well, oh, look, you know, she's had, you know, troubles. One name.
Bernard Tomic.
No.
Oh.
Aggro. Aggro handing out the medals.
Oh, and him saying it in his voice.
But Adam, it's not all sweetness and light at the Gabba for grand final day.
You sure?
I mean, make sure you're sitting down.
You've got Aggro, you sure?
There is a possibility, even though there is Peter Dutton and there is Pauline Hanson. Mm. In a burqa, I should point out that.
Absolutely.
And I should point out Adam Rosenbach said that, and I did not say that.
Hey, mate, she wore it, not me. I'm just, don't be revisionist.
There is a possibility there may not be beer at the grand final. There may not be beer.
Well, then there's no grand final.
I mean, what's the point? I mean, what's the point of life?
What's the point of having that much that you can't remember the end of the game?
Yeah, what's the point of not having beer at a game that you and I will not be able to go to?
Yeah, it just defies logic. I'm turning into Robbo here, but I'm angry because what has happened is apparently the Gabba, and I only kind of have noticed this in the last couple of weeks, but apparently it's a little bit rustic. Like it's not. A modern ground.
They are doing an upgrade. So I think the no beer rule may come in by the fact that I think currently they're having 20,000 people and therefore people can...
15. They got 15 at the moment.
Okay. Well, correction with that notice. Yep. And never fucking do that again. But they say that they can socially distance at the food and... I was about to say food and wine shop, but I feel like not too much wine going over the counter at the Gabba.
I wouldn't have thought so.
But if they have 30 at the grand final, therefore that they may not be able to distance at the, you know, the buffet that is football food. Therefore, they say that they may not be able to serve beer.
So that changes everything. And I think if the AFL knew that, then they would have gone, well, you can't have a grand final. That's just... end of story. Like, you can't sit there with a pie and a Gatorade. That's
just
weird.
Dude, who would do that?
Although, you know what they need to do, and this is what Queenslanders will be very savvy by doing, is there will be a lot of plastic hip flasks and a shit ton of Coke sold on the day.
Yeah, so
water bottles, back again, mate. Oh, yeah, I fucking love me Coke, mate. Get rid of the ice, mate. I don't want speed bumps.
Or do you like the idea? You know when you go and do a music festival and you talk to all the people there and they reveal to you, like, you know those festivals where they don't let you bring alcohol in?
Yes.
And everybody comes like a fucking super sleuth about getting alcohol into a venue. So I like the idea that the day before the grand final, like a few weeks before the grand final, all these fans bury their alcohol, like at the 50-meter line or at the centre-bouts. And then, like, at about, 5 a.m. on the morning when they can get in, they kind of all dig it up.
So the ground at Bathurst.
Yeah, so the ground is, like, just full of potholes. So people have just, like, dug up their alcohol.
Or do you just go back 1970 straight up, you bring what you need. But... not stupid. Limit of a slab per person.
Yeah. Wasn't the thing of Bathurst that they brought in a limit a few years ago and it was like...
One
slab per day.
Per person. And I think that they cut that back. They cut that back from just bringing what you like. And they said one slab per day and they fucking arced up and started going in weeks earlier and burying other booze so they could be there and going, I finished my slab, mate, but I've got some buried here.
Oh, because I know when it comes to...
you know when you're on your 23rd and you start getting nervous. You're like, fucking, I'm running low here.
You're freaking out. I mean, it's noon.
yeah, exactly.
And the only thing to stop you from getting more is that you need to cross the road. But unfortunately, there are cars driving 250 kilometres a mile.
Yeah. But luckily you've buried some months earlier and happened to be around that same spot where 400 other blokes are watching you dig up a fucking slab. Do you reckon they were counting that though? They're going, all right, there's four of you in the car.
How do you enforce it? How do you enforce it? Yeah.
So they can, therefore there can only be 16 slabs.
Yeah,
in that
like
car.
Who's walking around?
Mate,
going,
you got 17. All right, mate, you're fucking, you're all out of here.
Who's walking around going, hey, I've been watching you all day. That's the 25th. Okay? You're fucking out of here, mate, okay?
I warned you. I said when you got to your 23rd, you got one more to go, and you fucking wouldn't listen, would you?
No, you've had too much. Go back to your pit crew and work on your car.
And I wondered too. I'm not au fait with Bathurst, but if that included, if it was just a slab or that was a slab and a bottle, like what were the limits? Any junk timers out there who have been to Bathurst?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, I feel like maybe like two spirit bottles might be a slab. Maybe a spirit and a half bottle?
Oh, do you reckon they were adding it up and didn't go one slab, one bottle? I mean, a man needs a fucking bottle of Beam after he's had dinner. You know, after he's had his slab during the day, then he's going to... How else do you fucking get to sleep, mate? Those poor blokes. They're fucking... The bikey speed, you got to take the edge off. Hey, before we get to footballers in real life, which I know you are... itching to do, what about your fucking coach going the sook,
yeah,
claiming that other teams are slowing the game down and making it boring and doing whatever they can to fucking get a win? What a piece of shit.
I'm amazed that you're going with that one because I was waiting for you to whack me because you haven't whacked me for Adelaide, losing to Adelaide yet.
Oh, yeah. Fuck, I forgot about
that. Yeah,
yeah. Because everything just... There's been so many rounds. Let's double back.
I think you were being kind to me because it was an Iceland birthday. So I was like, okay, I'm going to have an Iceland birthday. I can deal with that. I'm going to sit back, watch my football team lose to the team that has not won. Was it like a year or a year and a half or something?
Oh, well over a year. I think it might have been round 17 or something. They beat the Saints and that was their last win. But no, it wasn't because of your birthday. I completely forgot. I would have happily ruined your birthday. You know that. You know me. I would have come for you.
Before
we get to Clarko Sooking, what a fucking terrible loss.
Yeah, sure.
But see, now you know, right? Now you understand what it's like to play for draft picks.
I do, but we're all for it.
Exactly. I'm of course, mate, I'm a cult supporter. You don't have to tell me what it's like. I'm like, yeah, of course. No, number one draft picks, they'll get you right up there. Go for it.
I'm on board. Like, I mean, you know, yesterday, like, or the day before, I can't remember now. Fucking days mean nothing. I wanted to have a kind of close contact with the Saints, like, you know, good contest. But yep. I was like, I want the Saints to win because I want them to make finals, you know. For our good friend of the show, Charlie Clawson. I want Saints. Maybe they can pull a Bulldogs. Who knows?
Yeah, they can't. But Clarko then turned on St Kilda's game style, and you just kind of go, has he got no memory? Does he have no short-term memory? Like, really, that is exactly what Clarko did. Let us point to the fact that he put someone in the hole in front of Brendan Favola when he was stranded on 99
He fucking
goals.
Didn't. He fucking went down.
Fuck off, mate. I was fucking there.
I was fucking there too, mate. I was fucking next to you, fucking waiting to run out again for the fun of it. But he didn't. That's bullshit. And also,
look at you. Okay, you're fucking Hawthorn supporters, all defending.
You want to fucking start this shit, cunt? You want to fucking start this shit? Fucking Brendan Favola fucking chased harder in that final 10 minutes than he's ever chased in his fucking life. All because he wanted a fucking individual fucking credit. Okay, a little ticking against his name going, oh, I'm fucking Brendan Favola. I kicked 100 goals. Oh, and also, I'm fucking like in the top 0.01% of fucking Uber Eats fucking delivery people. Like, fucking fair, fucking never ran, fucking never chased, and then when he wanted something himself, he fucking did it. So fuck off.
But he couldn't chase anyone because there was someone standing in his way. Jared Roughead, you fucking...
Who got pulled out of the... I'll show you the fucking footage. Fucking fair, fucking fucked himself. He fucked himself. Friend of the show.
Not really friend of the show. Remember he wanted to pull out really late and we were like, we've got fucking 200 people here, mate. Can't do that.
Yeah, sure. But then you say, hey, Fev Cash. He goes, yeah, I'm in. Yeah.
Now, Essendon have come under fire because they were seen laughing at half time. So they were about 11 goals down, I reckon. It was one of the biggest pantsings. You haven't seen a pantsing this year, but that was a pantsing.
I reckon that would have been the biggest blowout of the year. And I mean, I tuned in... I reckon maybe halfway through the second or halfway through the third, I can't remember. But when they when they went to the quarter and like the margin, I was like, oh, I thought it was like near the end of the game or something.
Yeah, no, you don't see that at all. And so Geelong absolutely steamrolled them. But Essendon came out and they did a very Richmond thing. Now, there's been talk all year that Ben Rutten, who is going to be taking over from John Worsfold, don't know why he hasn't already, because they're fucked. So just hand him the reins.
Yeah,
but he and Blake Carousella have brought over all the IP from Richmond. Now it seems that it even goes down to the level of having a bit of a laugh, telling a joke before half time, or during at the end of half time, everyone has a bit of a laugh, they go back out, go to their positions. What's your take, Michael Chamberlain? Are they allowed to laugh? Like, you go, we're fucked anyway. Like, maybe they were saying, I'll tell you what. Remember when Woosher said we could win this? They all just pissed themselves.
Yeah, I think they said, hey, guys, things could be worse. But at least we're not at the front of the kebab zone at 3 a.m. punching on with a local
wine. Having fun.
Yeah.
Or did he go, like, and then he said, I've shredded all the documents. And they all go, oh, fucking good one, Irving Mosquito. Well, let's go to our positions, fellas.
Anyway, our current coach used to be a pharmacist. Now, fun fact, that's what fucked us about 7 years ago.
Oh, and then they all just ran off and laughed.
It's a roast.
Yeah. I don't know. I would wonder if I'm an Essendon supporter, whether or not, like when I see players walking off after a game that don't look shattered enough, I get disappointed by that, because I'm like, why does it hurt me more than it hurts them?
Yeah, for sure.
I want it to hurt, you know. No, I don't want hugs. I don't want pats in the back. I don't want laughter. I want fucking hair being torn out. I want sooking. I want tears. I want everything. Get back in the rooms. If I don't see it, laugh your ass off. I don't care.
No, you're right, though. That's actually a good point, man, by the fact that, I mean, I don't think you should be kind of laughing around it, you know. I think you get to earn your laughter. And that's a pretty profound thing that I've just said, that I just thought of right now. And if you've won, you know, 3 in a row or whatever, you get to, sorry, that's not a Hawthorn thing. I'm just saying, like, if you're a dominant team, you get to earn your laughter.
But also, if you are going to laugh, it needs to be with the other two. It needs to be live, laugh, love. And I didn't see him living, and I didn't see him loving. You can't just choose one of those.
But then also on the fact, by the fact that we are, they're not going to love the club, well, apart from a few, we're going to love the club more. Like, you think about it, like, for many players, it's like a 2-year journey, a 5-year journey, a 12-year journey. Like, this is like a lifetime journey for us. So when we see them kind of not caring about the club, it's like, yeah, dude, it's where I work. Like, you know, you work in different places. I work in different places. Everyone works in different places. Like, you share your loyalty,
but
I suppose.
No. But, like, when you, at like, one of your gigs, no one's laughing. And you're fucking, you're always ropeable post-gig, just going, fucking hell, where did that go wrong? I'd be like, oh, mate, I got a list.
I mean, that's why I'm the Port Adelaide of the AFL, of comedy.
Yeah, but that's true.
I'm top of the ladder.
Yeah.
No one is literally laughing. Footballers in real life, man.
Hit me.
We got a bunch this week.
I was really hoping. I know I tweeted it out, but fucking hell, if someone...
Dude.
And, you know, what happens at Hollywood Showgirls stays at Hollywood Showgirls, unless it can be told to the Junk Time AFL podcast. We are happy to change names, but you were there, if you're working there, working there, please hit us up.
No, Amber, Bambi, Charisma, hit us up. Like, we're more than happy to hear from you. And I'm also going to presume they're fake names already, so no need for us to name you. From Anonymous.
See, good start. This is how we protect our sources, Junk Timers.
I fucking love these ones. Yeah. I live with a few ex-AFL listed guys, came home from work one night, and one of them was watching The Shawshank Redemption.
That's so he should be.
A few months ago, we were doing nothing one night, and talk went to finding a movie. He suggested Shawshank Redemption. And he was serious.
Well, of course he's serious. What's not to be serious about? Like, the nuances you can pick up each time you watch, and, you know, the facts that you can learn, like... Morgan Freeman, when he was playing catch with Andy, and he had to throw the ball for like 7 hours and like fucked his shoulder.
Hey man, you got to get busy living or get busy dying.
Yeah.
From Alex, just finished your most recent podcast, and one of your listeners said he saw The Wiz at the Harp about 10 years ago. I used to live near the Harp about 15 years ago. This was my local, and I can confirm The Wiz does like to frequent the Harp. I've seen him there on multiple occasions. Fuck, man.
Wow, what a joy.
Yeah, we need to fucking do a live show from the Harp. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, you know what? I'm going to start hitting up Dan Andrews and going, just open the Harp, man. I don't give a favor. Everyone's like, why does he want the Harp? You go, mate, I need the Harp.
But we need to do like a live show at the Harp at like about 1:30 a.m. Like, and just on the hope that The Wiz will pop in. Most of the time, he was with a couple of ladies, and I won't say...
No, you're not reading that next bit, yes.
Yeah, not doing that bit. Which, as...
Oh, no, you can't read that bit either.
Which bit can I read? I don't think I can read any... Redacted.
Yeah, jump to the next sentence.
The one starting...
Every time I had a
chat with him. Yeah. Always by opening the conversation with, Kappa, how many goals have you kicked in your career? He'd always reply the same way. 388, mate. 317 with Swannies and 71 with Brisbane Bears. Kappa. It's a pretty good impression.
No, it's very good. It's up there with you, Lethal.
Well, every time, clearly not remembering that we'd met several times before. I've seen a lot of AFL players there during my drunken escapades. Cameron Cloak, drunk, so drunk on a Wednesday uni night. He was sideways. I don't think I don't know if we can read that at all.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, that's okay.
Cameron Cloak so drunk on a Wednesday uni night that he was sideways as Travis Cloak's accuracy goal.
See, it had a joke contained to it. That's a good bit.
More recently, Ben Stratton taking photos of customers on the 2018 Grand Final for free beers from management. In brackets, a little bonus, he was drinking VB bottles. Little detail there.
You
right
go.
There.
See, I thought it'd be a crafty.
I feel like we're committing defamation crime like while I'm reading this out.
Mate, they're just drinking beers. There's nothing illegal with that. And we redacted everything that was said about Warwick Kappa.
Is the Harp like a footy bar or something? Like, is there kind of promo stuff or like shows they do or... You know, come and get a autograph of Mickey McGuan or something like on a.
They must have multiple screens for people to watch.
Yeah, so maybe it's like a footy hub. Local. Yeah,
but I rarely venture out to the eastern suburbs, Michael. I'm not welcome.
One time the Rat Pack Collingwood boys were there. Fuck, that would have been a good night. But they were well behaved, and I have to admit to be a little disappointed. Oh, mate, if the fucking Rat Pack shows up, you'd be like, hey, it's kicking off.
Yeah, fucking oath. Get the cameras out, boys. This is going nuts. That is very disappointing.
Should get your Twitter accounts ready, guys. Things are happening.
The Rat Pack.
From Josh. These current times are a little strange, and I had an odd phone call with my father back home recently. Mum and Dad were cleaning out some things at home when they came across a signed promotional poster for Nike with Wayne, the King, and Duck Carey's signature on it rolled up in cardboard. It turns out that the poster was handed out at an event when some of the Club 10, fuck man, Club 10.
96?
Maybe. You look at Club 10 and you go like, whoa, man, they're modern ideas. But it's like,
yeah.
It's really like, three fat blokes and like seven fit guys. Club 10.
All wearing Club 10 shirts. Remember that was a big thing, the chambray?
Hey, and what happened to Ricky Nixon? I can't remember. Like, did he go on to greater things?
I think so.
Club 10 stars made their way to Bendigo to then recently opened Bendigo Marketplace shopping centre back in the 90s.
Tell you what, see, that's the thing. Before Ricky Nixon came along, they weren't going to the Bendigo Marketplace shopping centre. They didn't even know about that. That was untapped funds that these players, like Wayne Carey sitting there on a Tuesday night just going, fucking hell, man, I'm bored. You know where I'd love to be?
Yeah.
Bendigo.
Into was the prodigal son himself, the artist formerly known as Ricky Nixon, in brackets, who is now known just by the onomatopoeic words toot toot. I was only 10 at the time, but I remember meeting Ricky in a What's New store.
Oh, lovely.
What's New was a store selling footy merchandise and novelty items and very popular with local teens. For legal reasons, if you're reading ahead, for legal reasons, I will simply end this sentence here and allow junk timers to think, feel, infer whatever they want about after hearing that information. Okay.
Oh, okay. It would have been popular for shoplifting purposes, is what I'm getting at.
Shook hands with Mr. Toot and asked him about life. He led us. Mr. Toot. That is the fucking, that is a Mr. Men book I want to write.
Oh, fuck, that'd be great.
Mr. Toot.
Mr. Toot's going into a hotel.
Mr. Toot runs a high-flying agency. Everything's going fine. He's got a lovely family and delightful children. Mr. Toot meets someone known as the St. Kilda schoolgirl. Mr. Toot ruins everything. Mr. Toot does sportsman's night with Chopper Reed. I shook hands with Mr. Toot and asked him about life as an agent with Footballing Elite. It's pretty funny, he replied. Little did I know that many layers of subtext to that comment as a young lad.
That's great. And then our final one is we actually got a photo sent in to us of a new product that's on the market, chicken salt mayo.
Yeah, yeah. So Matt sent that in. So he must have spotted that at a shop somewhere. So praise chicken salt chip mayo.
Now, I don't know if Mitani would have ticked off on this. I reckon there's a lawsuit in the wings, but
probably.
You've got to, if you're having chicken salt, you're not having mayo, is my thought process with this. Do you want to combine the two?
Well, I
just don't think you'd need mayo in there. I think if you're a chicken salt person, it's solo chicken salt and nothing else. Like, you're ruining it otherwise.
I'm taking my information purely from Pulp Fiction, but they talked about putting mayonnaise on their chips at McDonald's.
Amsterdam.
Yeah, so I'm figuring that this is a combination. Yeah, but I feel like it may not get off in Australia by the fact that we are still like a sauce kind of team, aren't we?
Yeah, so are we taking chicken salt to Amsterdam, or are they bringing the mayo on the chips here? I mean, which cultures are clashing here? Oh, I don't like it.
Well, why don't we combine both so we have tomato sauce with chicken salt?
Well, that's fucking genius.
I mean, fucking hell, another idea.
Oh, fucking hell, mate. Praise, if you're listening to this, and we know you are, if we see chicken salt sauce, oh, chicken sauce. Okay, I don't know. Okay, if you're thinking about that in Ricky Nixon terms, that doesn't sound great, but chicken sauce would be fucking delicious on your chips. I've got chicken sauce on the top.
Oh, dude. Okay. Here we go. Okay.
Oh, no.
We're not going graphic, but okay. Chicken sauce. A company owned by Ricky Nixon.
Oh.
And it's like, you know, Chicken Train is the company or whatever. And the catchphrase, we know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Toot, toot.
It's great. So when you squirt it on your food, you go toot toot, and then you eat your chicken sauce.
See, we've already made the ad. Like, you've
fucking
already
hell.
Nailed it. Oh god. Okay, we gotta hit the road. We are junktimeifapod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the Gram. Go on.
Go Blues.
Of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.